Okay. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Jefferson County Public Hospital District Number 2 Board of Commissioners. This is a special session on Wednesday, March 16th, 2022. This is still under the COVID-19 Notice Proclamation 2028 of Governor Inslee's. This will be officially recorded, and the time shown in the agenda are for estimates only. Because this is a special session, we won't have approval of the agenda. Our focus today is to have a discussion about generative governance and action may be taken. So all commissioners are present, and we'll go ahead and get started. So if you recall, we decided as a body that we wanted to look more into generative governance and see how it fits with our board. So we've decided to have quarterly meetings discussing it and topics, and this is the first of those. So there's not really a topic agenda today, except we do have one thing that Case had brought up that he had hoped we would discuss at our retreat, but we didn't have time for it. So we can talk about that maybe as a starting point. So does everyone have the information that they need for discussing governance or generative governance? If you recall, we had a list of items that we had decided on for 2022, and we could talk about those and then kind of go over what generative governance is. If you'd like, I can kind of brief us on that and give you some reminders about what it is and what it isn't, if that pleases the board.
Yeah, is there a possibility that Brittany can put that list up if that's within her purview?
There is, well, indeed. Let me just shuffle some documents from one screen to the other.
Okay, great.
But I wonder if we shouldn't take Jill up on her recommendation that maybe we talk a little bit more generally about what generative thinking or governance is before we get into the list of what we want to tackle.
Sure.
I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah, I think a little refresher. It's so if you recall, there are three basic forms of governance: fiduciary, strategic, and generative, and each have their own challenges and good points and bad points. Fiduciary is sentinel. The question is everything in order? The purpose is to ensure resources are deployed effectively and things are going well. So are we doing our fiduciary duty? Might include the financials, ethical, legal policies, oversight of finances, facilities, executive and board performance. And then there's strategic, which is the attention shifts from inside to outside, external influences and environmental considerations. So that's details on how an organization expects to move from current circumstances to a preferred state, as in strategic planning. And then generative is the sense maker. What is the question and what does it mean? And what frame are we using to describe the problem? So that's a more overall look at internal and external challenges and issues and how they relate to each other. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the board.
Hi. Sorry.
Just getting started, Brittany.
Thanks, Brittany.
And then, so what is generative thinking? First of all, it's not for small issues. It's for big challenges. It's not about solutions in the moment. It's about brainstorming and holding back until all the options are brought out and discussing them and then making decisions. It's it frames questions. It addresses the biggest challenges. It's the key to understanding and responding to paradigm shifts. It keeps focus, decision-making on the purpose and the mission, and can be the most challenging and the most rewarding. So questions, for example, generative questions when discussing specific topics are: why are we considering this issue? How can we see the situation differently? What is the best possible outcome? How do you make sense of all this? Why does this issue exist or persist? What is the worst case scenario? How can we approach this issue differently? And what are the next questions that we should discuss? So any comments on that or additions? Case?
First of all, thank you. I think that was a great summary, just wonderful, very succinct. I guess I would like to add, my understanding is that we aren't being asked to consider dropping our fiduciary responsibility or our strategic responsibilities. And I went over our board self-assessment again today, just to remind us how we're doing. And personally, I think we're doing remarkably well in both of those areas, but that this is merely an opportunity, the generative thinking merely is an opportunity for us to step back from being overseers of the managers and of the CEO, and asks us to get out there on the limb and just really be creative, and that the process includes thinking outside of the box, being playful, asking some of the questions that you just raised before we get into solutions and strategies. And I was also struck again when I was looking at the book again this morning, how it stressed that good managers, like the CEO and the leadership team, they're using generative thinking all the time. You know, they're thinking outside the box and trying to figure out what's the best solution and where do we go and prepare for the worst case scenario. And then they bring us an awful lot of their generative thinking. And there are a couple of wonderful little graphs in the book that show if you wait for that moment for the managers to bring us their generative thinking solutions, it's too late for the board to do any generative thinking. And that the only time that we can really sort of think outside of the box is if we don't have a box yet provided by management, and if we really sort of, get creative outside of that. So just a few comments.
Any other comments?
Well, yeah, I think generative is a part of the three-legged stool with fiduciary, strategic, and generative. Mm-hmm. So although we're focusing on generative now, it is absolutely imperative that we don't forget the other two. It's all one, if you like, big box or big shell with three parts to it. So a case is correct. We need to be absolutely sure and positive that the first two are not omitted.
Yeah, I agree. And also remember that it's the broader, when management focuses, they're coming up with solutions for operations. They're in, that's what they're doing or actually working towards fixing the things. This is just to brainstorm and to, you know, what at our level, what we would be doing would be seeing an issue that maybe was outside the realm of operations. For example, we're looking at master plan funding, just improved internet service, organizational collaborations, all kinds of different things that we can come up with some ideas and give to them for them to use in their toolkit as well. But one thing generative tells you is that it's not for small issues, it's for large issues. And it's increasing the complexity requires leaders to think and work effectively and concurrently in multiple modes. So we just want to make sure that what we're doing is on the level of the board and that the managers are doing it on their level, which is operations. So what other comments are there? Okay, one thing, Mike, do you have any comments on how do you think of generative governance and how do you think it would best work for management, for you folks? How could we add to what you do?
Well, I'm still learning what it is. I know much more than I did 2-3 years ago, and every time we either have educational content from Karma or we spend an hour or two talking about it, I think I learn a little bit more. I think if done properly and recognizing the roles of governments and the roles of operations, it can allow for more robust discussions, additional perspectives to decision making, and better decisions. I think that's the goal. It's just, I think, understanding where those lanes are and how to, how to stay in them, I think, is going to be the work in progress. But I think it has a lot of promise.
Well, good. I think it seems like it needs to be a collaboration at the end, I think we're all learning about this. We're all trying to find our way to build better team between the board members and between the board and administration. Comment?
If I could add, there are likely to be times when we brainstorm ideas and some of them are just not going to fly. And we'll either realize that or Michael will tell us, well, no, that's not going to work. And that's okay.
Administration is good at brainstorming ideas that don't fly. And we're getting better at recognizing when that's the case.
Right.
That's a skill we've developed on our own.
Well, we got to catch up.
the old axiom of the whole dot-com culture of fail forward and changing the whole vibe on failure, basically. It's a little different in healthcare, but I think what's behind it is that if your highest priority is avoiding error and not making mistakes and avoiding risk, you're probably not going to find the best solutions. So we have to be more comfortable with, and it starts with just throwing out possibilities that may serve as discussion starters.
Great.
And if I might add, I don't think we would be in a position to do this well if we didn't feel comfortable with the quality care parameters that have, you know, that were being shown, and the fiduciary. I think we've done so well on the first two legs of the stool that I think we can afford to spend a little time on the third leg.
I agree. I think we're doing a pretty darn good job all the way around, and I think administration has done an excellent job, as we've said all along, especially through this pandemic. But now we're starting to emerge. Yes, Bruce.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, I feel like it's not that we haven't done any generative thinking. We just haven't called it that. We haven't been very purposeful about it. And I think the last 2 years, in some ways, the old adage, you know, when you're up to your ass in alligators, you forget that the main idea was to drain the swamp. And so I think now, kind of the way we're headed and some things, I think we're going to have the opportunity to be more purposeful about our generative thinking.
I can think of a few swamps elsewhere I'd love to see drained, but I won't get into that.
Okay, so are there any comments about generative thinking, or do you want to dive into something now? This is a free-form meeting this time, and we can decide whether we want to keep it free-form or whether we want to make it more structured. So give me your thoughts on that, or do you know at this point?
I'd love to have a free-for-all, just because all of our meetings are pretty structured.
I don't know about a free-for-all. We want a free from structure, but not a free-for-all case. You wouldn't win.
Might turn into that, which wouldn't be bad as long as there was no animosity. Yeah. Bruce, what do you think?
Well, I mean, we don't have any structure, so it's going to be a little bit of a free-for-all.
Matt, how about you?
I'm pretty flexible with how we want to proceed.
Well, I would love to see us tackle the master plan funding possibilities. I think that's something that we haven't done yet, or haven't heard from the staff about this yet. So I think there's no box yet. So I'd love to have us just do some brainstorming on that. And I wonder if for brainstorming, if we could ask Brittany to do a whiteboard or to do a document that she could add on while we're talking. Brittany, is that a possibility?
Brittany, is that something you can do easily or not? You're not. I know we didn't ask for this in advance, so you may not have that tools available.
Jill, I apologize. Would you repeat that? I had someone pop into the
office. That's my fault. I'm sorry. I distracted her.
Oh,
you got it back.
I apologize. Would you repeat what you are hoping I can pull up, and I will certainly do my best.
Well, if there is some way that we can see in writing the different ideas that we're generating, like on a brainstorming list. And I know that on certain platforms, you can pull up a whiteboard and you can write on it, or you can pull up a document on your screen that you're actually typing on. So like if I say, gee, we ought to hold a bake sale, you would type in bake sale. And then you'd go to, you know, so generating a list like that. Is that possible?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me try and split my screen over here for you guys. Sorry, family photos.
And I'm not sure. I don't think we need the list of all the other ideas at this point if we're going to settle on number one.
Well, let's, you know, is there something on there that others would like to bring forward?
Well, that's the one that got the most votes when we voted on it before.
Is that okay with you, Matt? Okay, Mari?
Yeah, I think so, because I think it's the most pressing of those, I mean, apart from workforce, but I think that's already underhand by management.
Okay.
So I think that's, that is the most important.
All right, let's go then.
Right now. Well, Kay should write a check. That's the first thing.
Sure. Let me see what I have in my wallet.
No, I said write a check.
So I'll start it off. Bake sales. I mean, I'm serious. This is out of the box thinking. Just throw out ideas.
So funding. Okay.
Well. So I mean. Are we talking about all the different ways, not necessarily to fund the whole thing, but to add to the funding?
Yes, that's what
I would think. Revenues.
Jefferson Healthcare revenue?
Yes.
Yep. Basically the model we use to pay for ESSB.
Right.
And of course the levy.
Grants.
Go ahead.
A bond.
Mari, you were
government. Government funding.
Community shares.
Naming opportunity.
Naming. Did you say that, Jill? Naming opportunity?
Naming opportunity from private donor.
Yeah.
The Jill Buehler Medical Center. I like it.
There we go.
The Jamestown Glallam Medical Center. Hmm. The Safeway Medical Center.
Oh, no. Be careful what you wish for.
Microsoft.
Matt is being very, very polite. That's, and structured compared as opposed to the rest of us.
I see your hand
brainstorming.
Matt.
Can we just, are we talking about the new building project? Because master plan to me sounds like the entire campus plan. And then and are we, do we have a target dollar amount that we're approximately trying to brainstorm raising?
Well, we have, it depends on how much we get. We're kind of the chicken or the egg. I mean, it's, let's go for the whole wish list. I mean, as long as we're brainstorming, knowing that we may have to do it in increments.
Yeah, the article, I'm sorry, go ahead, Case.
No, after you.
The article in the newspaper was wrong, and it was right. It was right in that we had to submit a project in order to be evaluated on whether we could use this progressive design build methodology. And so we had converted all of the necessary and growth projects included in the 10-year master site plan as our project. That's like $110 million of that basically meets every need that the planning process identified, you know, and for the next 10 years. So that when we talk about scope of project, where that's one end of the continuum. The other end of the continuum is the work we feel we need to do, and that is address the seismic and structural at-risk parts of our campus, which includes, you know, the dietary and cafeteria, express clinic, the women's clinic, and we pegged that at about $35 to $40 million. So what the way we are looking at this as kind of a progressive potential projects, one on the left side of say $25 to $40 million, and then meeting all of the needs of the community, 110. Think of it sort of in those terms of how ambitious we should be with this project, how many of those community needs we should seek to meet, and how much funding we think we could target and bring home.
And I would like to recommend that this is an opportunity for us to think 10 years out. And so I'd say, you know, dream of 10 years out and what we really need, and we'll scale back if we have to. That's the view that I would take as a board member.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's realistic. I mean, if we, and knowing that 10 years is an awful long time in today's day scenario, but so things change. I mean, they're obviously, the costs are going to be different by then. Things will, you know, other things will be more advanced and maybe more expensive or less expensive. So
could I recommend that we continue the brainstorming? Because I think it's when we get some more silences after just thinking about it, we'll come up with some more creative ideas. I'd like to add foundation funding from, and in particular, Jefferson Healthcare Foundation.
How about collaboration with other entities like city and county?
Well, I have one. If it was possible, allocating some savings to Bitcoin, especially if we're looking at 10 years. Anyways, there's municipalities now in the country that are doing that. I'm not sure it's possible. But.
How about a merger with another healthcare entity? It's a brainstorm, Mike.
The other thing would be maybe not that grand, but would be partnership of some sort.
Maybe we could come up with, hey, I know what we could do. How about if we open a big plastic surgery center spot and all the proceeds go to the plan?
That idea made me sneeze.
That's right, Casey. When you were sampling our services a year ago or so, you could have come out the other end looking 30 years younger if we had an advanced plastic surgery program.
That's right. Wouldn't have had to go to the University of Washington.
There are no right or wrong answers.
Well, I was wondering with the potential for the sewer system in Hadlock, we could open some sort of more comprehensive medical facility. I don't know how far the sewer will go in Hadlock, but that would bring things closer to the South County.
Are you thinking in general providing more services?
No, I was thinking the surgery center.
Yeah.
Something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could we brainstorm Bruce's idea of partnership of some sort? Like, what kind of entities might be interested in partnering?
Well, what I was thinking about is, you know, we sometimes contract some things out, and whether it's around imaging or whatever, there may be something that could be a big part of what we want to do, but somebody else might be interested in partnering and having some part of doing that, but paying for the space.
Like Northwest Pathology. We send stuff out to them. Is that right, Mike? As opposed, I mean, they don't.
Yeah. We have a pathologist on site a couple times a month, but for the most part. Another example of Bruce's idea is one of the high hurdles small organizations need to get over in order to offer radiation oncology is provide all of the support services. It requires dosimetry and just this incredible amount of technical expertise that big shops just hire 1.0s to do, but if you only have one linear accelerator, you don't need that. Plus, the radiation oncologist is difficult to staff for just a one LINAC facility. So what some organizations do is that they reach out to places like the Seattle Cancer Care Alliance and talk about some sort of affiliation. And oftentimes that's just professional services that will provide the technical piece, and we'll own and operate the LINAC, and you can provide the professional piece and bill for the radiation oncologist services. Or in some cases, it's more like a joint venture where organizations, if it's a 60-40 split, where Jefferson Healthcare would own and contribute 60% of the cost of, because it's probably a $10 million total investment. The upside is that it defrays some of the capital cost, and you have a partner in place for the services that you have a difficult time providing. Downside is you lose control and it's not yours entirely to run. So that's not at all an endorsement of the model or of Seattle Cancer Care Alliance, although they've been a great partner with us. But it's an example of the type of partnerships that might be able to help in other places in the shop.
So, Brittany, if you could add Cancer Care Alliance to the list of partnerships. And how about Children's Hospital?
Mari, your hand's up.
I was thinking too further, although this is maybe not a good suggestion, but maybe trying to bring some manufacturing into the county, as in maybe a pharmaceutical company which would maybe in conjunction with us would share the cost of a building and some of the care. I know it's a bit of a no-no, but that's, you know, there's space in the county for economic development. And maybe something in conjunction with economic development and pharmaceutical company came to mind, just because they're in the same line of work to some degree.
Yeah. Clean manufacturing.
Pardon me?
It's considered clean manufacturing, which is a better fit for Jefferson County than.
So under clean, under the category clean manufacturing, you mentioned pharmaceuticals, Mari, and how about PPE?
Yes, there you've got it, Case.
I mean, I'm not going to recommend respirators, but.
Well, just anything basic to the daily needs, if you like, of an entity like ours, like an organization like ours. Can we set one up ourselves?
So what are services and or things that Clallam County, that Olympic Medical Center, might want to partner with? Something that they either don't provide or they don't want to provide as much as they do. So maybe the partnership, under the partnership list, we could put Olympic Medical Center and see very specifically, and the Jamestown's Clallam.
Yeah.
Well, just the North Olympic Consortium, really.
Yeah, we're at a place organizationally where those discussions are really easy to have. I used to talk to Eric Lewis about that a lot. And that sort of started with personal familiarity and as well as organizational familiarity. But now all of the, you know, all the way up to Forks, Heidi Anderson is a great partner. She's the CEO at Forks. And Daryl Wolf, the new, not so new now, I guess, CEO at Olympic is great. And Dunya worked closely with Jennifer Burkhardt, who is their number two there. And Brett and Ron Allen were intimately involved, and we participated in some advocacy work along with them. And now we are working with them on the next phase of the healing campus. But, you know, you hardly ever go from, you know, not having any relationships or any small deals to big grand planning. You sort of start with these small little incrementals, and over the course of 5-10 years, the question turns around to not, you know, why should we do these things, but why aren't we doing these things? So it actually might make for a fascinating sort of regional seminar or symposium where representatives from administration and the boards of all those organizations kind of just have a process similar to this, where we talk through some innovative ideas and where lines of interest may cross.
Is that something that you think would be worth doing in the near future as part of the planning for this particular project?
Well, we certainly should. I mean, informally, those guys are stakeholders. I mean, for instance, Sarah Cancer Care Alliance and Olympic, great partners, very supportive. I mean, we have an arrangement with Seattle Cancer Care Alliance now where Dr. Elizabeth McGlynn is in the hospital up in the ESSB, has an office in in our oncology unit once a week to do consults with newly diagnosed patients about their radiation oncology needs. So the good news, if we're to bring radiation oncology to Jefferson County, is that 250 patients, I think is the number a year, won't have to travel 45 minutes to an hour east or west to seek this care. several times over a several week period. The sharp edge of the business side of this is we send a lot of patients to Poles Bowl, and that they're going to feel that. And we've been open about ideally we can solve our problem without harming you. But some of our patients also go to squim. And if you were to remove 5 to 10 to 20% of market share from any one of our business lines, we'd feel it. So part of partnering is being open and transparent about those discussions, have them understand, you know, sort of this interest-based negotiations. Here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create a better patient care experience for our patients. We don't want our patients to have to travel to Poles Bowl or squim suffering from nausea from the chemotherapy the day before. And the only way we can think of doing that is bringing our own LINAC in Port Townsend. But if there's another way, we're all ears because we do want to, maintain or try to find these solutions that are win-win or at least win neutral for everyone.
What is the population growth projection for the next 10 years? Do you have any idea, Mike?
No, I really haven't seen anything updated for what's gone on the last couple of years. Bruce or Case, have you seen anything?
I have not.
I haven't either, but I know where to find something.
Right.
I mean, the city's done some around the water system, and they just renegotiated the contract with the mill, and the city made projections around population increase and water use increase. So I'll take a look and see what I can find.
Okay.
Thanks.
Great.
Because maybe then it wouldn't be so, I say, damaging to other people's businesses if we did that. The other thing is Grace Harbor and Summit Pacific, are they too far away to be included?
Probably. They're certainly part that we include them. They're part of the 24th district. So when we speak about legislative territories, we work with them, but Elma and Aberdeen, long way away, certainly different markets. So probably.
Yeah. Maybe we need a tunnel across straight across instead of having to go all the way around. Is that generative thinking, Case?
Yes, that's perfect.
What other ideas?
Any other ideas?
Well, I want to go back up to the second one that's on the list, community shares, or the second part of the list that I can see, community shares. And I think those are bond, are they called bond shares, Mike? I think that's, I just want to make sure that that's clear. That's where local individuals can actually buy essentially municipal bonds, but it's not a municipal bond, buy a bond to invest in their local hospital. So I just want to make sure that that's.
Huh. Wow, that would be interesting.
And if you look back, a lot of the 65 building rooms have sponsored names where people, I don't know whether it was a bond or whether it was just a payment, the local insurance company, it was Homer Smith and others. If you look around those rooms, they still have those plaques up.
So that's another idea, which is, how would you summarize that into a bullet idea, Mari?
Room that, sponsorship.
Well, that's kind of naming opportunities.
Yeah.
Same.
Yes, but let's add that it could be just for areas or rooms or chairs for that.
Anything. We can name all kinds of stuff. We could make benches out there and name them, or pavers, or it's been done.
Yes, yeah, right.
So are there some of these that kind of go with others? Like bond, levy, I'm not sure we could actually do a levy. I think it's more of a bond. So we could delete levy because that's not the right term, I don't think.
Well, in the spirit of generative thinking and brainstorming, what Valley did, they went and secured an operating levy, an operating maintenance levy, and then they pledged the funds from that to a revenue bond.
Oh.
That's a revenue bond. So they were, and then they built a $180 million new tower. It's not the straightest line between A and B, but
why would you do that rather than just float a bond issue?
Lower voter threshold.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean in terms of community support?
Yeah.
But a levy,
And it, you know, it's indefinite.
What's the voter threshold for a levy?
I think it's 50 plus one.
Right. But what about a bond?
60.
So maybe we should keep a levy on there. Just because a levy is a longer term. Well, but even levies don't they both have time limits, or don't they both have sort of endpoints?
No, levies are.
I don't think in healthcare. I think it seems like in schools they do, because they seem to be, they have to renew them.
Yeah.
Never had to renew ours. So. I don't think so, Case, but it's a great question. And the same time we're asking, how did Rich Rudman do that at Valley? and can we do it again? Because the levy to build a building idea is in the spirit of brainstorming. I don't know if it. What?
So Brittany, maybe we should leave the term levy on there. Jill was right.
It's down on the bottom, Case.
Where do we put it? She's one step ahead of us here.
Yep.
And Brittany, it's pledge to support revenue bond.
And in thinking of partnerships, what's ever happened with the YMCA, and where are they? And is it possible that we could work with them to put some YMCA type services? I mean, what the heck? Bring the pool up here.
The pool and the daycare and the senior care.
So we should find out where the Y is and on their plan. And
if you recall that when the last effort to make the Y to complete the Y project, they were considering going out for a bond February of 2020. So they had decided right about the time COVID was sort of becoming a thing is when they decided, well, this is probably too much too far, which proved out to be a very prescient thing. And since then, I don't know if there's been much activity driven by the why. I will tell you that I've chatted with John Morrow a couple of times, several times, and as recently as a couple of days ago, about the city's interest in the continuation of a wellness center that has an aquatic component. And, you know, I speak of that big block of land that we have, you know, on the corner of Sheridan and Sims, that we will need some of that for, you know, next gen likely physician office space, but it also could be a great space for a community health wellness plus center. And I've said that out loud to John and to Kate Dean and to our others, because I do think it could encapsulate a lot of different community needs in one fell swoop.
Sounds like that would be an addition to our current potential master plan.
Yeah. I thought that the master site plan would, I thought everything that we wanted to do plus a wellness center, including a pool, would be about $110 million. So I was kind of way off when the first number was floated, and I just thought it was a bridge too far, you know, to talk to the community about $150 million plan.
There was also, wasn't the, I wonder if we should put loans on here. Didn't we get a Department of Agriculture loan somewhere along the line for the ESSB building, or was that just a bridge loan, or?
No, the U.S., they basically underwrote a loan.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, you know, we sort of referred to it as the cheapest, smartest money. We could leverage USDA to get a below market interest rate, and it had very few covenants, loan covenants. So it made sense at the time. Shortly after Tyler got here, Tyler sort of reviewed what those options look like. And we brought in a consultant about where's the cheapest, smartest money, if you can tolerate that term now. And we decided that the USDA, a lot of process and bureaucracy to get to the finish line, and they had lost their edge in terms of being able to deliver a sub-market interest rate. So the recommendation from our consultant was, you can use your business performance to go out and get a fairly sized large loan, pledge revenue from the new operation in order to pay for it and be okay by just going to the private market to find a bond.
I think we also ought to put sponsorships on here. I know that First Federal just came up with $1 million over 10 years for the Maritime Center.
That's a good one. Anything else?
Well, the only other one I can think of is that, and I don't, it's nor there, it ties in a little bit with what Case had up there for community shares, but you think about, you know, the Rose Theater or the Film Festival or these different ones where they have a membership, and for that, whatever you do, you know, they contribute a chunk of money and then you get something in return. And maybe it's like the Film Festival, you get a pass, you know, just for the films or whatever. maybe the hospital, you know, you get, I don't know, 10% discount on your medical bills, or I don't know, but something, but depending on how much people would donate or contribute for this membership.
Hmm. A free lunch once a month.
There you go. Hey, that's another one. How about a price? How about a cafeteria with Aaron's food open to the public?
A rooftop restaurant open to the public.
Yeah, with a great view.
Yes, apparently on the last building, there wasn't enough money to do the engineering to make it feasible to have people go on the green roof, which I think was unfortunate, because every time I go to dermatology, and I go there frequently, I look out the window down on this green roof, which could be growing Aaron Stark a whole bunch of good vegetables, but it's basically a bunch of brown sedum. So I think the idea of having some kind of balcony, what would you call it, a rooftop destination for food, eating, what have you, might not be a bad idea.
I never have bad ideas, Case.
How about t-shirts and sweatshirts and caps and swag for sale. I like that. Perfect. I know what would really be good. Parking spaces, rental.
Well, Jill, you will be pleased to learn that we learned from our design team. We had I think I may have mentioned this. We had our kickoff meeting last Wednesday with a bunch of architects, bunch of contractors, our OAC team, and three or four folks from Jefferson Healthcare to sort of say, okay, the work begins. And spent all day talking about different parts of the project and beginning to manage them. But we were talking about parking and needs for additional parking spaces and how we could make that better. And one of the contractor consultants said that the code for parking lots going forward that he thought would apply to this job is 20% of your total parking lots need to have an electric vehicle charging station.
Huh. Wow.
So do the math with all of our parking spaces. So that there will be a considerable investment and probably, that's probably a number greater. Well, I shouldn't say that. At least initially, there will be more capacity than need, we could certainly make it available to the community. I don't know if you would carry with it a charge, but it would be a community service.
Well, I see that.
Can I ask Mike, how can we? Sorry.
No. Okay. Safeway has a new charging station in their lot, and you pay for it. So I don't know, there are companies that charge for that. I don't know how it works, whether they pay Safeway a stipend or, part of the charge or what. But that's a thought, too. If we leased those spaces to somebody, to ChargePoint or one of those, and that would comply with the code as well as bring in some money.
Yep. So yep. If we didn't charge for it, what is our status with not able to give stuff away?
Mike? Well, it would have to, it's past the material or immaterial
test. I know that there's a difference, but we allow people to come in and plug into our electrical plug and use our Wi-Fi. So someone smarter than me would have to answer that question. I think you can probably, and I have no idea what the actual cost to the hospital to charge up a car would be. But it's possible you could just say, you know, this is no different than offering other services that are kind of have a fixed cost with them to community members inside the hospital either. But we'd have to be certainly leery of that, Maureen.
Plus, for my car, my home charger, it cost me about $5 to fill the batteries. And it has a 300-mile range.
What if we had an electric vehicle club and you buy a membership to it, and that gives you a card so that you can sort of prepay for a certain amount of charging?
Yeah.
And what if we had a credit card? I know all these companies, all these people have these credit cards that the proceeds of which go to some entity, you know, whether it's REI or the airlines or whatever. I don't know how that works.
You mean free miles?
free plastic surgury, you know, I don't know.
They get their cut, you know. It's like the Citibank and Visa and MasterCard. It's a profitable business to be in. And so I think when they partner with companies or major universities partner with MasterCard or Visa, and they get a portion of that cut. There's probably a couple of different ways that you can do that. That would be an innovative way to generate funding. Another sort of intersection of hospital need, community need, and service, and what I think a law that's going to translate to a code and permitting requirement at the state level is if you do a project over 10,000 square feet, you will either be encouraged or be required to have a component of self-generating electricity.
Yeah.
So the question now is requirement or encouragement. So we were kind of thinking, solar panels, windmills, what else is there? But where I was going with this is that if you had self-generating electricity powering a handful of EV charging stations, you probably wouldn't have to charge for those.
You also can hook up bikes in rehab to get your patients to pedal.
Yeah.
There we go. Hey, there you
Could I go back to, you know, the financial stuff here? With we have one ATM in the building, correct?
Yeah.
Do we generate anything from that? Anything worthwhile? So should we have more? Is the question.
You know, Hillary did an intense analysis of this probably 8 years ago when we brought it in, and I almost get the feeling that that First Federal or whoever the bank is that supports it was doing us a favor, because there wasn't enough activity to cover its cost. But that was a long time ago, Mari. And maybe it's used more now. It's a good question. I mean, basically, the broader heading is if you walk through some hospitals, and you know, I frequently mentioned Valley Medical Center because it was this, the CEO was a real character and thought out of the box. I mean, they and this was, you know, it sounds just antithetical to healthcare organizations now, but they brought in McDonald's probably 25 years ago, and he was always trying these different partnerships to pursue another angle and get a cut. So and that's not really we stick to our knitting and don't really look for those innovative ideas. But maybe we just sort of create this category of, you know, when we met with Swedish a couple years ago, they said, we don't think we can healthcare. The business of healthcare won't support the service of healthcare. That we are doubling down in, this was Swedish Providence, doubling down on our foundation. You know, that the Tegria company case, that basically is Providence stood up an Epic platform and contracted it out to other organizations as a subset of Providence. And then Providence set up this venture capital firm and started standing up and investing in all sorts of healthcare related technology investments. And then they broke off their Epic support service, named it Tegria. And that now is part of this this for-profit company. So, you know, when we listened to that presentation, Dr. Matter and I looked at each other and said, well, we're a hospital that 78% of our business is paid below our cost. That we are pretty innovative with other programs to help bridge that gap, but maybe we should start thinking along those lines too. Not that big, bold, and brazen, but you know, foundation and other revenue generating opportunities that's not going to come from offering services that most of our payers can't afford to pay us, while the cost of delivering those services is going to continue to go up.
That brings up the question of maybe we should consider some kind of venture capital, search for venture capital opportunities. And maybe it requires setting up a for-profit entity that can, with some venture capitalists, that looks for opportunities for creating more capital.
For profit or what some organizations have, some public hospital district organizations, critical access hospital, what some boards, public hospital districts have done that operate critical access hospitals is they stand up a not for profit entity to basically provide the services that you get dinged for providing under the critical access hospital structure. So years ago we talked about, well, what if we had the Jefferson Healthcare? It operated Jefferson Healthcare Medical Center, and it offered Jefferson Health Alliance, even named it. And we had the home health and hospice, because those are two services that we not only do we not get paid cost-based reimbursement, but that cost report overhead allocation penalty applies to those two services. Now, Hillary was brilliant about minimizing it, but it still applies. Not so coincidentally, we were talking about this when we needed a place to stuff Discovery Behavioral Health, when we didn't want to give up on that, but we didn't want to lose $1 million a year either. So we thought, well, you know, we make half of that problem go away if we were able to stuff it under this entity that's part of Jefferson Healthcare, but not Jefferson Healthcare Medical Center Critical Access Hospital. And, you know, if our community were ever to need more skilled nursing facility beds, we would be right at that place with probably a sharper point of where we were with DBH, where critical access hospitals that provide skilled nursing facilities get bludgeoned because they take up so much overhead that that you can no longer include in your critical access hospital cost report. Thank you for bearing with me, but then you could also set up these other things, Case, that would allow you more flexibility to make investments in in services, and you wouldn't be necessarily, we'd still be a public institution, but we wouldn't be have to a slave to some of the critical access hospital guidelines that frankly make it difficult to meet community needs.
So Brittany, let's add to the list, create a separate nonprofit entity to provide services for which we do not get adequate reimbursement through critical access hospital restrictions.
Would that be negated, Mike, if the modification bill goes through?
You mean the bill that Mike is working on presenting? Is that the modification you're talking about, Mark? Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, the cost report overhead allocation penalty would go away, and those services would be reimbursed at on a cost-based basis. So, yeah.
But does that application also go for skilled nursing?
Yeah.
Okay.
The services that were tucked into the critical access hospital law 20, 30 years ago as critical access hospital eligible services, there was no magic behind them. It was at a time where there wasn't scarcity of services. It's just sort of like, well, what should go in, what should not go in, and so that's why services like home health and hospice, ambulance, skilled nursing facility, those were typically provided by outside organizations, private organizations, you know, just like doctors. Offices were private organizations, so it didn't occur to anybody that those would be services that would need to be provided by a critical access hospital. So part of our message is, you know, if you were, it's not like what we're asking for is wrong. It's not like they got it wrong 30 years ago. They got it right to a completely different environment, and the environment is changed, and the right solution now has changed too. But even Dunya would agree it's a reach because it would cost more money, but you know, we're keeping at it.
Well, how difficult would it be to create a separate nonprofit entity?
That'd be, I think, relatively easy. When Stevens Hospital in Edmonds was acquired by Swedish, the Swedish bought the rights basically to operate the hospital and assume profit and loss responsibility, but it's still a public hospital district, so it still gets the tax support. And I think they set up a 501c3 for the purpose of running what operates like a foundation, but they have I think it's a 501c3 similar structured for what we would want to do.
And how long did Swedish lease it, Mike? And how long, if they did, how long does that lease last?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mari. It seemed like forever and a day when they did it, but it's probably 20 years. You usually do those deals, and that's, you know, they're quite into it.
So I wonder what happens at the end of the 20 years or whatever.
That's a great question.
Yeah. Yeah. Renegotiation.
Well, or does
the hospital Swedish walks away?
Yeah. Which,
a complete and absolute speculation, but it's kind of one of the risks of entering in a deal like that, I suppose.
Well, unless you make it 50 years after we're all gone.
So is there any, it sounds like the nonprofit and the wouldn't affect the foundation at all because it's two, they're doing two separate things, but I wonder if there's any overlap there anyway that.
Well, you could stick the foundation under there, actually. It could be part of, well, probably, I mean, you could, because it just needs to be separated from the hospital. I think it's important for foundations and the organizations they exist to support stay tightly aligned.
Yeah.
And most of the time that just happens naturally, but it would be more likely to happen or less likely to not happen if the foundation was part of this organization, not for profit group.
Yeah.
And would that be a 501? That wouldn't be a 501c3. That would be a C4 or some other nonprofit entity. Is that right, Mike?
Why wouldn't it be a C3? Case.
I think that's charitable.
That's a good question. I don't know enough about the difference.
I think a C3 is charitable, which means that you can, if you donate to it, you can deduct it from your income tax.
Right. But there are other categories, and I'm not sure if you're going to be doing things like providing nursing home or home health services. I'm not sure whether that would require a different category than a 501c3. I don't know.
So here it is. Here's the 2017 scribblings that the Jefferson Health Alliance, up on top here, Jefferson Healthcare, Jefferson Public Health, Jefferson County, City of Port Townsend. Its purpose is to provide non-critical access hospital eligible services and social determinants of health services. So this was DBH, housing, exercise and wellness. So if we were to stick an aquatic center that would provide a under our licensure, and it would provide a cost report allocation penalty in order to operate. At the time we put CHIP under it, before we had, when it was more our operation, and then senior care, SNFs, ALCs, and then home health and hospice. So this was sort of the thinking, but in our other discussions, we thought there could be social venture capital and hang other community appropriate and culturally appropriate, but bottom line driving services under this structure too.
Well, that, so Mike, one question is, could that, would that be a 501c3, or does it need to be another type of nonprofit entity?
I don't know. I don't know the distinction between those, all those tax codes, but I just knew it would have to be a structure other than a critical access hospital.
And it would, could it have the same board as, I mean, it could have the same board, but just have a separate meeting. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because this, and this is just one format of 100, but right. This would be, it would be part of Jefferson County Public Hospital District number 2. So that the Jefferson would be the governing board.
Right.
And you would oversee Jefferson Healthcare and oversee this as well. And I was thinking that that it's more likely that you could structure it so that you could be the overarching board and then oversee smaller boards underneath with the right attorney.
And then the mention of public health on that list leads me to ask, you know, when we're looking at the partnership list that's about in the middle of this whole thing, whether we should add public health here. And I'm wondering if there are some services in particular that public health is providing for which they could use more space or more support. So that, in fact, and I'm thinking, I don't know, is it the needle exchange program or the vaccination clinic or maternal and child health? I mean, you wonder what their 10-year projection is for services that they want to provide and see if there's some opportunity there.
That's a great question.
Okay, I have a suggestion. We've got about half an hour left, a little more, and about 40 minutes. While we're brainstorming, should we put these into categories? My thought is like beg, borrow, and sell.
Steal.
Not sure which one that would be under.
Beg, borrow, yeah, right.
So we could do, you know, beg, you know, government funding and collaborations and stuff, and then borrow loans, and then sell, you know, the obviously things that we brainstorm there. So bake sales is sell.
Maybe just put a letter, maybe just put a, well, there she goes. She's pretty quick.
Yeah.
Would it be easier if I made these just 1, 2, and 3 and then put those at the front end of those for you guys?
That might be easier. Yeah, that'd be good. And then you can always pull out the 1, 2, 3. Well, there are other categories too, though. If we're doing a
bond, whatever you can think of.
Should we put like auction? I mean, the standard sort of like auction.
Oh,
razor.
Oh, an auction, yeah.
Lots of money.
Okay, that's in the beg category, right?
Yeah. Foundation.
The other thing is partner. It seems to me that's a different category. It's not begging, borrowing, or selling. It's basically partnering with an entity that's getting something in return for.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I think investment is a category.
Hmm. does that fall under the bigger category of borrow? Because invest
could be, or
but we could start
effort. If we're asking for like a naming opportunity or something like that.
How about service development?
Actually, government funding would be big. Grants.
There's a lot of work going on at the state and federal level to try to bring home considerable grant dollars for this project. So cross your fingers.
Yeah. Okay, so shall we go down the list and see where they belong and where they fall?
Sure.
Okay. Revenues, where would that be? Investment?
Or selling services.
Selling, okay, 3. Grants would be
big. Bond is big. Or is bond borrow?
Borrow.
Because you end up paying it. You end up paying it back.
Yeah, grants, most of those are big.
Yeah, but bond is we borrow.
Got a big borrow bond.
Beg and borrow.
And government funding is big. So
that would be 3, Brittany.
1.
Oh no, 1 rather, sorry. Community shares. That's 2.
Sell? Yeah.
Well, you sell them, but some of these are a little. You beg people to buy them and then you borrow it because you're paying them back.
Well, that invest in local hospitals. So I guess that would be 5 investment then. You think community shares would be investment? No, that's fine. What do you guys think?
No, I think it's selling a share.
Okay, selling. Okay. Naming opportunity, sell 3.
Four. Oh, sorry. No, the next one I was thinking.
Foundation, I think, is beg, isn't it? Aren't we begging for money?
Yes.
The foundation.
Yeah. And then 4 would be the next one, collaboration with city and county.
It's got to be a more dignified word that we can use.
That was just a joke.
No, we're
ask.
Ask.
Request. Yeah, if you want to be fancy, we can say requests.
All right. Just think what begging is.
I kind of like beg.
Reminds
so
me.
Does, so does
yeah, there we go.
Next one's 4, isn't it? Merger.
Yeah. If you do it right.
Yeah, that's 4. Partnership.
Brittany, you're doing an awesome job here.
So
I'll put them into an Excel so that they can be filtered later so that you can see which ones fall into each category.
Great.
Okay.
Oh, plastic surgery center.
Where is that? Service advancement, or what is that? It's That would have to be an investment, wouldn't it? Because you need to get money to set it up.
That's true.
So maybe that's 5, surgery center.
Well, does that mean we invest we are the receiver of the investment?
That's true. It could be a partnership. get a couple of plastic surgeons.
Yeah.
And it is important to say that Dr. Meyerson is a plastic surgeon and board certified in plastic surgery, and that's how he represents himself on his.
Yes.
So.
So we just have to create a spot-like atmosphere.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want him to think we're having a discussion about needing to bring in plastic surgeons without recognizing we got one.
It's great.
Yeah, he's great doc, great guy.
And I think great services he provides, what I hear. Mm-hmm.
So, Jill, that was your idea. How would it be if we just said open a spa?
Well, but that's the key part of it would be, well, you know, having a destination.
Cosmetic.
Yeah, cosmetic.
But if that's part of our overall service package in the hospital that we're building, do you see what I mean? I'm trying to deal with Mike's point that's a service that we provide, that we want to provide in the new building. And
but I don't think we do cosmetic surgery like tummy tucks and all that sort of thing. These, right?
Or yeah, that we? Would be yeah. That you can come in for any of that stuff.
Even so, it's cosmetic. Like cosmetic plastic surgery.
Jill, does it help where you were trying to go if I change the term to expand instead of open?
Sure.
If that keeps it where you were thinking, but honors who Dr. Meyerson is already for us.
I think that's an excellent solution.
There you go. And what's the spa part of this? I guess I just am looking for a little clarity.
Create an atmosphere. You're a guy. You don't.
But we're talking about cosmetic surgery.
Yeah.
You know, like. Taking a bit off the tummy and adding a bit to the eyebrows.
Sure, but what's the spa part? Do you go into a steam bath before or after?
You relax and hang out in a hotel atmosphere, and you get great food and
mud. I got it.
Things and
it's not the eco village kind of resort.
Gee, I didn't get that service when they rebuilt my nose at the University of
Washington. Well, you didn't go to the right place. You've got to go down to Southern California.
All right.
So I was thinking for more a kind of a day surgery center to expand our surgical capabilities and have more comprehensive surgery here in the hospital, but more day surgery and stuff. And
that's part of the, you know, how I spoke of the sort of three progressive projects. That's ambulatory surgery suites are probably included in the second.
And spa?
No,
that didn't make the second.
Okay, so Mike's the guy. So Mike's the guy too. Okay.
I'm kind of like this. The two people that I live with very much like to go to spas, and I don't quite get it. But
see,
there's a market for it.
There's a market for it, particularly if we have assets enough to do it.
Yeah.
Then maybe we could change that wording to say expand plastic surgery center, including a spa, so that it's clear that what we're.
And I think you want to. It's a medical spa. That's the distinction between when there are healthcare related spa services versus just manicures, pedicures, and facials.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
We should send you to the local spa case and pedicure and manicure and see how you like it.
Well, I am having greater difficulty cutting my toenails these days. I mean, as I get older. Or is that too much information, Mari?
D and K nails.
I didn't comment, Case.
Okay, so where does open day surgery facility in Hadlock fall? Service advancement,
but hopefully more money.
Service expansion / advancement.
Service advancement, yeah. But when will the sewer happen? That's the issue.
Yeah.
And Brittany, when you finally put these together, I don't think we need to have the initials with them. It just sort of makes things confusing. Unless somebody is attached to having their name identified. Unless you want your name on the spa, Jill.
Well, that's quite all right. But it may be helpful if we, when we look back and say, well, what did you mean by that case? What was, mind when you were, you know, can you expand on it? It might be helpful.
What I was thinking is I need a little more coffee ice cream to make it through the end.
We're almost there. Okay. Clean manufacturing.
Pharmacy. I think we need another category like recruitment.
Oh.
And that would, so somehow with the city, partnering with the city and the county, go out and try and get somebody to expand their, bring their stuff home from China and expand their manufacturing here in Jefferson County.
So that'd be community and economic development, Mari?
Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
Sure. That's it's great. A great point that I frequently in meetings with Bill Robertson, who's the CEO of MultiCare, and who's, you know, he's one of those guys that just is brilliant and is thinking 2 to 3 steps or miles out in front of you but says things that make so much sense. Well, a couple of months ago at a WISHA meeting, we were talking about, do we think that PPE shortages are behind us? And most of the conventional wisdom was, yeah, you know, we're COVID's not behind us, but probably the big spikes and the industry's caught up with the supplies caught up with demand, and we probably won't go through the shortages that we once went through. And then Bill said, has anybody seen COVID numbers in China? And, you know, this was like pre-Olympics and they were zero. And he said that China is still the main provider, manufacturer of PPE. And does anybody really think that Omicron is not gonna hit China? So this was 2 months ago. He predicted that you can run but you can't hide from Omicron, and once it establishes a foothold, it will roar through segments of your population, and in China require shutting down manufacturing plants, and you're starting to see that now. I don't know how pronounced that problem will be, but just when I was allowing myself to think that I don't, you know, PPE manufacturing is not a local or even a regional or national thing, I thought, well, it does need to be at least a regional and national thing. And Mari's suggesting maybe it even become a local thing, because I do think there's going to be PPE shortage at some point when manufacturing plants in China are shut down to curtail COVID expansion there.
And I believe they've got a different variant, haven't they?
Yes, there's a new variant now
of Omicron.
The variant of Omicron, and it's 12% of the cases in the U.S. already, so it's moving but quick.
It's weaker, isn't it?
Unclear. The problem is that people who had the first COVID-19 infections when it the first variant or the first virus, they are getting less and less protection from the variants, and we don't know yet about this latest variant. And Hong Kong is currently the epicenter of the world.
Yeah.
It's, over the top.
An amazingly high death rate.
That's because their vaccination rate is so low.
Yeah, and particularly in the oldest cohort.
Yep. And that in part is from government suspicion of government,
which
is certainly a reasonable reasonable suspicion to have in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So I'm looking down here at the list. The levy, that's a borrow again, isn't it? Is that a two? Yeah, the levy is a two. And then the next one is loan. And one thing we didn't mention is, so there are different kinds of loans. They're bank loans, but there's also the Local Investing Opportunity Network, LION, which over the last 12 years has invested $10 million into the local economy with small loans to small businesses. And that's a very, I think, important potential. That's L-I-O-N, Lion.
Shot.
So let's see, loan, what's that? Borrowed, that's two, yep.
Sponsorship, First Federal Savings,
That's a one, isn't it?
Oh. Yep. Membership.
Four, three.
That's a three, yeah.
Five.
Yeah. FA.
Three.
That's service, maybe six.
Cafe.
That's a three.
So, Mike, is rooftop access for people on the list for the architect and the engineer?
On the list yet?
Could you
keep it in mind?
Could you see if it could be on the list?
Yeah.
And then we should put a dumb waiter in to bring food up from the cafeteria.
Although Aaron hasn't met with the design team yet.
Uh-oh.
So my hunch is that I'm not gonna. That our wish list for the cafeteria is going to pale in comparison to Aaron's. I was just sort of chuckling a little bit when I was meeting, when the design team was talking about all of the components of this, and made some comment like, and kitchen cafeterias, those are usually straightforward, so I probably won't need too much input from your team. And I'm going, oh my God, just wait, you have no idea.
Oh.
So we straightened him out and arranged for some additional touch points. But Aaron as well as I do.
Yeah. Well, but seriously, making a garden on the roof, that is the in thing in many, many cities around the world now.
Yeah.
Chicago has got some incredible and having a real garden up there would be a tremendous draw.
Yeah,
we gotta have an elevator that goes up there. We gotta have a way for handicap.
Well, you have to put in elevators anyway, so what's one more floor?
And part of the reason for the green roof, the little postage stamp sized green roof that we introduced with the ESSB project, was sort of this notion of carbon offset, there's a couple of different bars to set, and I think the highest bar is just don't produce any carbon. But another bar to set is be carbon neutral, and therefore you have these different offsets, I think green roofs deliver on that.
particularly if you harvest the green and eat it, then it grows more.
Yeah. And it really recycles.
Well, the other thing that just occurred to me is we were talking about solar. I think we talked about solar panels. There used to be a state program that allowed public-private partnerships for solar panel investment. And in fact, I was part of a group that partnered with the port so that the runways at our international airport are actually all powered by solar power. And the port currently generates enough electricity from those solar panels to pay for the electricity that costs to run to do the runway lights. And there was a huge investment credit from the state, and I think that expired, but I don't know if recent legislation is bringing that up either federally or locally. But if we could put public-private partnership for solar panels in there somewhere, that would be great.
Or just green energy generation.
Right. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Windmill. It's tall enough to have a windmill, Mike.
They're very noisy and don't produce much.
I mean that this
and they kill birds.
This expectation that hospitals generate a portion of their own electricity, I think, is real. So the only question is when. And you know, I'm certainly not an expert in green energy technology, but other than solar panels and windmills, what else is there? We could create a tap into, you know, wave energy out into the
right. There are two programs that I'm aware of that allow you to look at what the different elements would be. One, of course, is the LEED program.
Yeah.
And the city annex is a LEED silver, which is pretty damn good. And but it's fairly expensive to apply the LEED certification process. But there's also a certification you can get through the Builders Association. And I'm pretty sure that they have commercial standards now. And I can look into that. But it would be worth asking the architects and the contractors whether they have any experience working with the list of green building requirements. The reason I know about the LEED one because I was on city council at the time, and the one building I'm aware of that has the Builders Association green certification is the Quimper Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, and we went through that certification process.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we need to, Mari.
Yeah, what about solar paint? Isn't that an entity that's coming along?
Read about that, and it's very difficult to get enough action in the paint to be able to collect much in the way you're generate much electricity, but
because it's a fairly lot of surface area.
I think it's way off in the future.
Hey Bruce, what are the mills that they are huge consumers of electricity? They've got probably business model reasons to identify cheaper and greener electricity. What are they doing?
Well, I mean, they co-generate some, but you know, they're not doing a lot. I mean, they do things energy conservation wise as far as, you know, efficiency for motors and, you know, variable frequency drives and things like that that reduce the amount of electricity that they use, that the utility helps pay for.
Yep.
let's go ahead and finish numbering them, and then we can talk. We've got 10 more minutes before we close. So if we go through and do that, and then we can spend the rest of the time generating more. Okay, so we're on parking spaces. That would be cell 3.
Credit card.
And,
that's also selling, isn't it? I mean,
I guess.
Venture capital operations is investment. Separate nonprofit.
Community and economic development? No, service advancement.
Service advancement, maybe, because we'd be putting services under that, no?
Right.
Auction is sell.
Auction, sell.
Partnerships.
That's the investment.
Or partner.
Well, true. As it says.
Anybody else? Anything else anybody can think of?
Probably tonight, when I just went about to fall asleep, I'll think of something.
Don't call me.
So now, Brittany is going to put them on a Excel spreadsheet so we can look at them in a different manner. And so what do we want to do with this now?
Say that again. What do we want to do with the list, or what do we want to do in the left 10 minutes we have left?
Our next session, do we want to, we're supposed to generate ideas, but we don't really have any wherewithal to implement them.
Well, let me tell you what we're thinking, that certainly on a couple of items sort of intersects both the timing of the next generative governance meeting and the April board meeting, that I'm propping Jen Warden up to give a presentation to the board on what, if we were to go out in November, what that effort would look like. So the community meetings and partner outreach and stakeholder feedback, all of that stuff with the dates and the timelines that would begin to inform you on key dates, work in front of us, and help you feel better about that decision. And that lends itself to, I think, a couple of items on this list, and that's ready to go and is going to happen.
Okay.
And is that the 20th of April, Mike?
I think so. If that's the April board meeting.
Third.
Yeah, it's right before we go, isn't it, Mari?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
It's a DC American Hospital Association meeting with that Wisha is also going to arrange for some advocacy meetings.
I have the 27th for our next board meeting, not the 20th.
It was moved up a week to the 20th. Yeah. I'll double check that the calendar invites are updated as well.
Okay, so that's the 20th. All right. I wonder if it would be worth, I wonder how much of this list is going to feed into the reality of the next 6 months. Because if it is, then I don't think we can wait. And if the board is going to be involved in some active way, seems to me that we can't really wait until our quarterly generative meeting.
Well, what, you know, I mean, some of these things are probably not going to work.
No, so, for sure.
You know, we have to, maybe Mike and Jen can figure out what are some things that actually you've already thought of, and where on this list are we? Are those things that are practical? What things that might be practical that you might consider doing? And what are already in the scope? Maybe that could happen. Where are we going with this? That's, I guess, my question is, now we have this list, and so we can't impose it on anyone because, you know, it's too, there are some pretty far-fetched things in there. So what do we do with it?
Maybe the question is, would be to have Mike and Jen take a look at it and say, here are things that we think would be reasonable to incorporate into the overall plan. And here are things that need more research. I'm thinking, like, for example, the selling community bonds, you know, so making $5,000 bonds that individual people in the community can purchase. Well, that's something that's going to require some expert to look at. But that was an idea that I think surfaced about a month ago. And the question is, if that's going to be implemented, what needs to be done in order to see whether that's possible? Do you see my question, Mike, in terms of like that one particular issue?
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to create more work. I mean, we don't want to, you know, if there are things that have already been considered and things that you know, haven't, you know, don't really have much in the way of legs, then why would we spend time really investigating it and looking at it?
Yeah.
Well, because I don't know whether Mike or anyone, you know, has looked at the private, you know, the personal bond, small bonds issue.
Can I just say, I don't think we have to have an action step. I think it's an idea generating exercise. And so now it's not, I generate ideas and then come up with an implementation and investigation plan for every idea. It's just, it's a generative idea exercise. And now if Mike comes to a meeting and or any one of these ideas is actually presented to the board, and because of this exercise, Mike sees it as an actionable thing, it's not going to be, because we went through this exercise, we're much better prepared and feel much more like we've engaged and participated in the process. That's my thought.
I think that's really valid, Matt. I think that's a great way, succinct. Say the rest of you.
Yeah, I think Matt's got a point there, which I agree with. What I was going to ask was, so with these bonds, would we be paying interest on the bonds?
Yes, typically somebody pays interest on the bond.
So that would be us.
Right.
Thank you.
Bruce, do you have any wisdom here?
No, I think what Matt said is correct. I mean, you can go on to other steps, but I mean, this is mainly idea generating process. And then you got to figure out somehow, so how does it fit in? I mean, if you're going to go further, then you got to figure out which one has the biggest chance of you know, being fruitful. And, you know, so you get into a voting or a ranking type of thing to figure out, because you can't do them all. So you got to figure out which one has the biggest chance to do the most.
And which one can be done in a timely manner, because we're looking at a very short timeline.
Right. Right. Right.
So maybe the thing to do, how about this? Mike can prioritize things that he thinks would have a good chance of working, and then we can investigate those that make the cut.
Well, when do you foresee sort of the handoff between idea generating and...
Well, it looks like we've...
No.
You just
done that. You know, we've generated the ideas, and that's generance.
Generative.
Yeah.
Generative.
So we have done that, and now we give it to you, and...
And if any of them are useful, maybe none of them are.
Yeah.
And that's okay too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, these are mostly just trying to understand the process. Maybe it's a question for Karma, because this is such a pointed example, and I mean, clearly there's all sorts of good stuff. We're probably not going to create Jefferson Healthcare Community Alliance as a top tier project in order to pay for our new building, but I think it's a project that has merit, and you know you will likely see. Well, you know, I don't want to say this. It always feels weird to say out loud in a recorded meeting because. My comments would be misinterpreted, or motivation would be assigned, or would there be this basis that I have information that I don't have? But if we learn that the skilled nursing facility in our community was closing down, we would be sunk. It would be a crisis. And as we learned with DBH, no good solution. That the critical access hospital constraints would punish you for stepping up and doing the right thing for your community. And so when we first started talking about that structure, it was behavioral health related, but also to have a plan B in the event, or if, you know, Olympic Ambulance and East Jefferson Fire and Rescue got out of the inner facility transfer business. That's another service that critical access hospitals get punished to provide, but it's very, very important in their operation. So I do think that is something that is tangentially associated with paying for our new building, but not top tier. So maybe what I'll do is sort of identify the projects that I think have the most standing for financing our campus expansion investment that we're going to have to make. So community, you know, community bond and foundation and grants and those sort of things. And I'll sort of place those in the top tier, and we'll just keep the others below that to revisit maybe at another time. Does that seem reasonable?
Yes.
And yes. Don't forget, this institution is going to need more money down the road anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And more services and more response. And so I think this generative thinking we've done here is way beyond what we might even consider for the short run this year, but sets us up for more generative thinking and implementing some of these over time during the next, you know, 5 years.
Yep.
Matt, are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, sounds good.
Bruce?
Yeah, I am.
Mari?
Yes. Yep.
And Case?
Yep, sounds good.
And I too. Bruce?
I have one other thing, because it was brought up in our discussion earlier about, you know, the population growth and what the city used when they're looking at for the water system and stuff. And this is, they use it just for the city. They didn't say in the county, but they, somewhere up there, they grabbed this number of growth rate of 1.2% annual growth rate for the next, between now and 2036.
Wow.
That's not much.
It's not much.
Yeah.
It's not much.
Over a 10-year period, it's 11% over their 10-year period, or 12% over the 10-year period. And then they went another 10 years and used the same rate. So over 20 years, they're saying 24% increase.
Yeah. That's 300 people for the first year, and then. Yeah.
Well, it's just is it just PT, Bruce?
Yeah, that was just Port Townsend.
Oh.
So, it'd probably be the same, even more out in the county, I would guess.
You think so?
I would think so, with the sewer system going in out at Hadlock.
Yeah, but you see, it's been going in for how many years? 20 years?
No, but it's finally getting there, Mari.
Well, I won't mention what Chuck Russell said once about when that sewer system comes in, what he was going to do, but I think, hopefully it will. But, when I first came here back in 80, I think the population of Port Townsend was about 5,500. And wow. What is it now? 10? 11?
Close to 10.
So that's in 40 years. So that's surprising, really, that it hasn't grown.
Yes, but with the climate crisis.
Well, yeah, and also people with their second homes overseas brought their homes back, second homes back here. There are lots of reasons why, but I think until we get economic development, there's not a way to sustain a greater population, because we don't have the people to work. A lot of the people who are coming are retirees, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we do need to have some, I feel, light manufacturing, clean manufacturing, or some other economic development that will help us, the hospital district, to take care of our residents. Without there being one crisis after another financially because of the way the rules are written.
But I also think that the growth rate out in the county has been more rapid than in the city, just because property's cheaper and people can get housing, they can build, and there's no, they haven't in the city as much.
But again, I go back to economic development, because I think I can't remember quite when, but I remember the time when the population, county population, was like 16,000. It hasn't gone up all that much. I mean, the whole county now is 30,000, and it's only just about doubled. And again, I don't think people live here, but now with telecommuting, I think it's easier to live here. But I do think without some work, family wage jobs, and clean work here, that we're going to be able to sustain all the things we want to do.
Well, I agree with you, Maureen, and I think it's deeper than economic development. I think it's the character of your community. I mean, if the growth is disproportionately in the upper age demographics, you sort of become a different community. You're little less of a family services oriented community, and I worry that if you need economic development opportunities in order to attract that cohort of new, attract and then maintain that family age cohort of population, that I think is what helps make this community so dynamic and vibrant. Helps. It adds that middle aged piece of the diversity that makes this place so special.
Yeah. Okay, at that point, I would entertain a motion for a conclusion of the meeting.
So move.
Is there a second? Okay, discussion?
Great meeting.
Thank you, everybody. Yeah, it was a great meeting. Thank you for everybody's ideas, and we'll see you next week.
Uh-oh.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Bye, everybody.
We need better broadband, too.